The CBSI teaching guidelines provide an introduction to the Book of Colossians in Lesson 1. So we'll be studying the introduction today. Please turn to the Book of Colossians in the New Testament of the Bible. Over the years, I've discovered one very interesting phenomenon. Due to the difference in religious backgrounds, people are attracted to God by different reasons. Some are attracted by God's love, while others are attracted by witnessing the good characters of the Christians, which in turn kindles their interest in reading verses related to character building and God's law. Some people encounter problems in life and are delivered by God. This is how they come to know God. As a result, they are especially keen on reading verses related to God's mercy and compassion. There are also others who simply want to get to know the Creator, prompting them to read the scripture related to God's authority and power. However, I found out that not many Christians enjoy reading the epistles or the apostles' letter. This is very unhealthy. For if your faith is not inclusive of the whole equipping for Christ, your belief may be led in the wrong way. I have witnessed brothers and sisters who have strayed from orthodoxy into heresy, and some have been living with misconception of God for more than 10 years. The reason I'm using the above words as opening remarks is that the two books which we have previously studied are from the Old Testament, and both are of narrative style, which means they are scripture passages with storylines. When it comes to Paul's epistles, almost none of them involve stories. Thus, they require wider and deeper scope of understanding. This is also the reason why many enjoy reading the Old Testament and the Gospel, but not the epistles. However, I'm going to give you an antidote and let you see the beauty of the letters. As an example, let's say your daughter who is studying abroad is in love and she informs you that her relationship is in trouble. You will immediately call her on the phone, talk to her and comfort her. Or let's say your friend encounters a problem in his business and is at his roadblock. You immediately meet up with him and help him to figure out the solution together. The Apostles' letters serve exactly the same purpose, that is to provide solutions. Each epistle is to help us with solution on issues pertaining to our faith, as well as practical advice on conflicts and difficulties encountered in life. The purpose of each epistle is to speak to a situation. Each epistle has a strong practical significance, which includes ethical significance dealing with family issues as well as church matters, balanced relationships among brothers and sisters, and advice on individual spiritual life. In fact, the significance of the teachings and instruction in epistles are much more profound than those in the Old Testament. Well, with such introduction and having seen the beauty of the epistles, let us get to the main subject. The author of the book of Colossians is Paul, who was unlike the rest of the apostles. The other apostles were called by the Lord Jesus while he was still on earth, and they have lived with the Lord for 3 years. They witnessed the Lord's crucifixion, followed by his resurrection 3 days later, and thereafter they were preaching the gospel to all places. Paul, on the other hand, was a man who had previously opposed Jesus and even participated in the massacre of the Christians. He was later converted after Jesus appeared to him in a great light. After his conversion, Paul was greatly used by the Lord to establish churches in various places. God gave Paul great revelation, and he was once caught up in the third heaven and heard God speaking to him. Therefore, when we read the epistles, we have got to have this strong conviction that the contents in Paul's letter are not of his own nagging, nor are they some sort of chicken soup for the soul. Indeed, they are specific instruction from God given through Paul to the congregation of the churches. They carry God's authority as well as his commands. In those early days, Paul was like a missionary. He would plant a church in one place, then pass the church he had built to the local disciples to manage and move on to another place to plant another church. Sometimes he would return to the church he had built and ministered with his fellow workers for a period of time, then move on to another place to edify, comfort, and encourage the believers. If he was not able to be with his fellow workers, he would write them letters to greet them and to solve their faith issues. In short, he was like a father figure, ever accompanying his flock of sheep as they grow in maturity. There was a man called Epaphras. After he heard the word of God, he was inspired by God to build a church in Colossae. When his church encountered a problem, he knew that not only Paul had the truth, he also had the caring heart of a father. Therefore, he wrote to Paul with the hope that Paul would be able to help him solve his problems. What was the problem in his church? The congregation of his church had false teachers. At this point, I would like to interject. I know some brothers and sisters have taught that faith is all about personal relationship with God. Such thinking can be wrong. We ought to be careful. Why is it wrong? For when you confess with your mouth that the Lord is Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your heart, you are saved. You believe that you have sinned against God through Adam, the origin of sin. You also believe that your sins are forgiven through Christ. Have you met Adam in person? Have you met Jesus in person? No. Therefore, what you believe is the word of God, that you as a man were born into the covenant of Adam. Later, by faith, you chose to live in the covenant by the grace of Jesus. Thus, you believe in this covenant. Do you understand? You chose to believe in the new covenant of God. Now, here's the point. Do you know that the new covenant of God is not made with you personally, but with Christ and the church? When the book of Ephesians talks about the most mysterious union in mankind history, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, there is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The church is the body of Christ, and you alone are not the body of Christ. Who can step up and say it aloud, I am the body of Christ, and I have built the body of Christ? Or is there anyone who dwells in the house of God, and yet not in the kingdom of God? Is there such a citizenship? If anyone thinks this is possible, just tear up the passport of the kingdom of God. Those who are not willing to commit themselves to the church show that they are not willing to partake of the holy covenant of God. Each individual is part of the church. It is not only after we are integrated into the church that we become the body of Christ. Individualism is not biblical, and it is dangerous to be without the protection and covering of the church. The Colossian believers were led astray by false teachers, partly because they did not place themselves under the spiritual protection of the church. They listened to and believed in the teaching of the false teachers whom the church did not approve. If the early believers who had lived in a time that's close to the days of Jesus' death and resurrection, and Jesus' existence was so vivid to them, yet they were deceived by heresy, what makes us think that we won't have such danger today? Satan's schemes are ever full of deceits, and there's always one scheme that fits anyone who does not take the covering of the church seriously. Such was the state of the Colossian believers. In addition to the teaching of the church, they had also started listening to the teaching of some false teachers. So what teachings had they heard from the false teachers? Firstly, the false teacher taught that the Christians, that is, in order to comply with the standards of the Christian faith, they needed to observe special holy days and to practice asceticism. I have seen many Christians around me who are still observing the Jewish holidays, such as the Sabbath, Sukkot, which is the Feast of the Tabernacle, and so forth. Before the pandemic, there were some folks who even bought a ticket to Israel to join in the festivities. It's okay if it's purely to join the fun, but if you're still observing these festivals, do you know that you do not believe in Jesus but in Judaism? Many Christians know that the Bible does not forbid us from eating pork, yet subconsciously they still regard pork as unclean and that certain foods are not to be consumed. What is the truth of the Christian faith? Everything God created is good. Say grace before you eat and eat with a thankful heart. 1 Timothy 4 chapter verse 4 to 5 says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Secondly, the false teachers taught the Christians to worship angels and stars in the sky, or to believe in certain philosophies. Maybe we find ourselves with no such issues. For if we never worship angels, or do we worship the stars? Certainly we won't stumble on such matters. Is that true? Shall we elaborate on this? I have mentioned this in my opening remarks, that Satan's schemes are full of deceits. There's always one scheme that fits anyone who does not take the covering of the church seriously. Do you know how many young people out there who claim to be Christians and are still into horoscopes? This is called astrology, because they are not taught about this. They think it's just for fun. That is very bad for them and has a negative impact. We can expand on this issue at some other time. How many adult Christians are there who still believe in hypnotism? This is opening themselves up to spiritual realm and allow the spirits that's not of God to enter at will. If none of these seems relevant to you, perhaps I can give you a more relevant example. It is about psychology. I know many Christians believe that psychology can bring them comfort and healing. When they encounter problems that they can't resolve, they start looking to psychology for solution, thinking that faith and psychology are not in conflict. Psychology has a history of more than 100 years with nearly 400 branches. Its approach to dealing with problems is characterized by descriptions rather than prescription, because psychology is not a medical science but a type of philosophy. So it is philosophy. It poses danger similar to those mentioned by Paul in the book of Colossians, for it will lead you in a direction different from the one that Jesus Christ takes you. In addition, its viewpoint is totally different from the biblical value. The psychological theory approach believes that people are inherently good and that the past has a decisive influence or impact. Psychological counseling is about feeling good about oneself, being stronger in oneself, and being able to overcome difficulties. Christianity, on the other hand, emphasizes self-denial, sins, and that the Christian needs the power of God to be transformed. It is intensive discipleship aimed to making the lives of the believers more like Jesus. In practice, the former is self-centered while the latter is God-centered, and the two are completely incompatible. Freud was the founding father of psychology. He called himself an utter godless Jew, and he regarded the Bible as mythology. The theoretical foundation in psychology is completely opposite to that of the Bible. If you are interested in such philosophy, I hope you are not offended, because what I'm stating is history, science, and truth. My main point today is that you should be aware that the early Christians were easily led astray by philosophy and paganism. So are we Christians of the present age. We also can be led astray by philosophy and paganism. Brothers and sisters, your faith is definitely not just a decoration of your life. It doesn't just work from the moment you are saved, nor does it just work from the moment you go to heaven. Absolutely not. The salvation of Jesus Christ is comprehensive and all-inclusive. God wants you to be saved as whole, your marriage, your parenting, your career, your interpersonal relationship. In Christ, you have a brand new identity, a brand new future, and a brand new purpose in life. What is the Christian Church Declaration? We believe the Holy Bible to be inspired Word of God. It is the whole, infallible, and only revelation of salvation. What does whole mean? It means that for your whole, your problems, your difficulties, and everything in your life, the Bible has the infrastructure, instruction, and the solution, because the Bible is all-inclusive. This is what the book of Colossians specifically refers to as the fullness of Christ. Do not use philosophies to solve your problems. Do not use the rules of asceticism to determine what you eat and what you don't eat. Do not use pagan festivals and religious rituals to define your godliness. Do not let the false teachers take you off focus. Otherwise, in 10 or 20 years, your problems will still remain unsolved. The only way to solve your problem is to come back to Jesus. This is the key point of the book of Colossians, and that is what Paul is trying to tell us, the abundant life in Christ. Do you want to have this abundant life? Praise the Lord. Welcome to the book of Colossians. Let's stop here today. I have presented the background of the book of Colossians. In the next lesson, we shall begin to expound on the scripture in detail.